In thinking about the passage from 1 Corinthians 13 for the last few weeks, and we continue to do that today, and in particular today I want to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8. It says, love never fails. We're going to talk about love never fails in a moment, but let's read the passage from 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles with yous, wow, my goodness, I'm really descending into my Glaswegian at the moment. If you're all right, I'm going to get your Bibles out and we'll do it together. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all of my all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship, then I may that I may boast. But I do not have love, then I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails, but sadly, other things do.
Now look at the camera. Give it your eye.
I can't move my grip.
Do not move. Do not.
That one in particular, for those of you who haven't been to see the film yet this week, Star Wars has been released on the next edition of Star Wars. Is he in it? He's not in it, is he? No. Okay. I was going to... Oh, no spoilers. Yeah, that's right. No, he's not in it. No, anyway. So, this is a sort of strange passage because actually that verse in particular, love never fails, is one which actually, if we think about it, we're kind of going, no, actually that's not true. In fact, almost every one of us has experienced the opposite, isn't it? Almost all of us have experienced that the reality that actually that love sometimes does fail. There are some times where actually it just crashes and nothing seems to work. So why is it here? And what is it that Paul is talking about? Well, of course, Paul is talking about the love of God and in particular, just the qualities that he has. But I have to say that I've been thinking about, you know, how would we know what love is? And for those of you of a certain age, you'll understand why this automatically went straight to this particular video clip. Want to know what love is. So anyone recognize Foreigner? Anyone actually have that album somewhere still in their house? Like the vinyl? You probably got the vinyl. You don't have, that was back in the day. That was before vinyl came back again. All right, so that was the kind of pre... Now, anyway, the point about it is this. You know, we want to know what love is. We want to think about what love's all about, and we want to understand these things. And so as we think about these things, we're thinking about what God's love is like. We're thinking about who he is, and we're thinking about the fact that actually God's love never fails. And I think that's something which, I suppose there are different ways in which we can kind of describe the love of God. God's love is marked by him choosing us. God's love is marked by him choosing us. Love is a choice. Love is a choice to actually to reach out and to connect with others. God's love is marked by him adopting us. He actually chose us. You know, he picked us. He said, "You are the ones that I want. You're the ones that I want to kind of come close to." God's love is marked by him blessing us, pouring out blessing after blessing, kindness after kindness, in different ways for us. God's love is marked by him forgiving us, him not allowing our brokenness, not allowing our frailty to actually kind of in any way inhibit his relationship with us. God's love is marked by him never abandoning us. And I know that for myself, you know, it's just such an incredible thing, considering that I know how often I fail and how often I actually abandon him, how often I turn away from him. He never abandons me. And then, of course, that his love is marked by him never being able to be separated from us. We cannot be separated from us, from his love. That's what Romans 8 talks about, that there's nothing that separates us. Neither life nor death nor any of these other things, it says, will allow us to be separated from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. And so God's love is shown in these ways, that it never falters, it never stops, it never ceases, it never comes to an end. That's what his love never fails means. That's actually what the passage is talking about. It's sort of saying, you know, when we talk about God's love, love never fails, and then it's describing the love of God that never stops, never falters, never ceases, never gives up, never turns away, never abandons us, never holds back on us, never looks at the circumstances of our life, never takes the response that we have to him as his determinant on how he is going to love us. That is a hugely different thing. A hugely different thing than we see as we look out into the world and as we look in our own lives as well. That we would love like that is an incredible thing. And it's the reason why Christians are Christians, is because that actually we have discovered that we are loved like this. We've discovered that we're not, God's love is not based on whether or not we have deserved it. It's not based on whether or not we have done well enough. It's not based on whether or not we've responded accordingly. You know, the song that we sing about, you know, he kicks down walls, he comes and finds us, he leaves the 99 coming after us. All of that stuff is a description of the love of God for us. A love that never fails. And again, you know, there are epic fails. These are just sort of silly ones that we've watched. But actually, we know what failing love does. We know the pain of broken relationship. We know the difficulty of feeling that actually those who are close to us no longer can be part of our life. We know what it is. We know what it's like to have just the breakdown in communication, the inability to be able to respond and to relate to one another. We know what love failing looks like. And here we have the opposite of that. Here we have the God who loves no matter what. His love never fails. It never ceases. It never comes to an end. It never stops. It does not depend on us. Thank God. Thank you, God, that your love does not depend on me. And, you know, because if it did, then I would be sunk. Absolutely sunk. But here is what love is. You know, you want to know what love is? This is what love is. Paul goes on as he kind of looks at the passage, as we look at that passage in verses 4 through to 8, what Paul actually describes are 15 qualities of Christian love, you know, which he just it trips off his tongue. He says, you know, love is this, love is this, love is this, love is this. And again, if you want to know what love is, then this is what love is. Love is patient. You know, someone who is, and a person who is patient, you know, what does that mean? It means that it's almost like somebody who has been wronged but chooses not to actually avenge himself. That's what patience could be described as. You know, that actually it's forbearance, it's holding ourselves back, when in actual fact we could quite legitimately, justifiably, you know, sort of react. Love is patient. It holds itself back when in actual fact it shouldn't, or it doesn't have to. That's what love is. Love is kind. Do you know, we were meeting, Dan and I met a couple of folks this week for lunch, not in this congregation, but some other folks from Glasgow and the Glasgow church. And we walked away from them, and we actually sort of said, you know, aren't they just the most amazing, loving people? There was, and I would almost sort of say, do you know when you meet people and there's a sweetness about them? Do you know what I mean? There's a kind of a sweetness of the personality. Love is kind. Kindness is that sweetness that we're talking about, which actually isn't brash and difficult and kind of like puts itself up, but instead just has something of the essence of God amongst it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love knows no envy. And envy can be about kind of like being envious of other people's things, but actually it's about, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's actually about begrudging other people who have other things. And that's not what it is. You know, there's no meanness of soul in love. Yeah, there's no meanness of soul. So love knows no envy. Love does not boast. There's a self-effacing quality. True love will always be far more impressed with others than it is with itself. It doesn't have to prove itself. It doesn't have to make a thing of itself. It doesn't have to pump. I don't have to pump myself up because that makes me feel good to be able to kind of do anything. Actually, lifting you up is the thing that actually makes me who I am. Love does not need to boast. Love is not proud. It isn't inflated by its own importance. And we know that. We know what it's like to kind of come across folks who actually need to pump themselves up and often do so by pushing others down. And actually, you know, that's not love. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It behaves graciously. There's a kind of Christianity that sometimes can be a bit blunt and a bit brutal. But there's nothing that's really. But what we're describing here is you know, it's a winsomeness. If that's a, you know, it's a winsomeness, just a kind of a quality of our characteristic which actually draws people to us, because we don't dishonor other people. You know, we actually lift them up. We honor them. Love does not insist on its own rights, and again. You know, that's one of the things that we see where people want to kind of insist on their privileges and their rights, but aren't interested in the responsibilities. You know, love is not interested in its own rights. Love does not fly into a temper. And what this is really about is just, it's not that people don't get angry. People get angry. That's not about, you can be loving and angry at times. But what this means is love doesn't get exasperated with people. You know, it doesn't get to the point where it's kind of like, I'm sick of you. I've had enough of you. And I'm going to respond to you like that. I remember when we were bringing up the kids, and we got to kind of, I think maybe when they were about sort of 13 and 15 or something like that, you know, they're kind of a bit further through. And I remember having a conversation, and basically Dave was just absolutely having a go at Steve every time he could. He was exasperated with him. And do you know the thing that sort of flicked it for him? I sort of said to him, I don't know if any of you remember this guy. Some of you all know a guy called Howard Espy. So Howard, yeah, some of you know Howard Espy. So Howard was like a guy that was like, he's just someone who Dave knew from years and years ago. He was part of his kind of, part of the clan youth team and did various things. And Howard Howard is just a lovely Christian man, and actually brings out the very best, I think, in almost everyone that comes to him. And they've loved Howard, like loved Howard, for a whole variety. Howard is very funny, various reasons, but they've loved Howard. And every time you kind of went to go and visit him, it was like he was so excited about it, and he would be so positive about it, and he'd just be like alive. And I said, Dave, what I need is I need you to stop thinking of Stephen in the way that you're thinking about him, and I need you to look, every time you think about him, I want you to pretend that he's Howard Espy. And you know, it was an interesting thing. It actually changed his mind. It changed enough of him because you know, we can put people in categories. We can just get so, you're driving me crazy, exasperated. We can get people and we put them into that category. And actually, even though they're not behaving in any way that causes that, it just kind of like, it's actually a place where we can get ourselves in our hearts and our minds where actually we just kind of go, every time I see you, I just want to smack you in the face, you know, that kind of thing. So, Here's my suggestion to you. I don't know who your Howard Espy is in your life, but the Howard Espy equivalent, try it. You know, just try it. Because it changes our hearts as we begin to kind of recognize that actually love never flies into a temper. It doesn't allow itself to stay exasperated. Okay? Love keeps no record of wrongs. That is probably one of the most significant things that we can do, that we can learn the gift of forgetfulness. You know, that we actually choose not to allow that thing to happen. There's nothing more destructive in a relationship than the inability to be able to let things go and to let things lie and never to bring them back up again. And actually, that's one of the things that Diane and I have had to work out quite a lot over the years. You know, from the very early stages, we actually sort of said, you know, once it's done, it's done. Once we've dealt with it, it's done. And the deal is, you can't bring it back up again. And actually, we've had to kind of work with one another to do that over the years. And we've sort of, you know, and so, but I'm telling you, what it does is it allows you to change, because you don't. It's like every time you kind of go back to that place where you remind the other of the feelings of the past, it's like a kind of default loop. You go back, you look back to the place and the feelings and the attitudes that you had at that point, and it trips you back up again. But if you deliberately say, I am not going back there, I will not cast it back up again, I will not keep a record of wrongs, I will not use it in an argument, I will not actually undermine you in any way, then what it does is it allows you to change, because it allows you to posture yourself towards a different kind of future. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love finds no pleasure in hearing something that is derogatory or bad about somebody else. Again, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's easy for us, particularly to kind of, you know, in a world that's just full of all sorts of salacious information that we get now piped to us on our little handheld devices, it's very easy actually to spend a lot of time kind of just glorying in the sort of, in the stuff that happens to other folks. But actually, love doesn't do that. It doesn't rejoice in these things. It's above that. It lifts itself above that and says, you know, I don't want to be that kind of person. Love instead rejoices in the truth. And this is the interesting thing, that love has no wish to veil the truth. It is nothing. Love has nothing to conceal, and is glad when truth is revealed. Because actually, what it does is it gets us to that place of integrity, honesty, reality. You know, where in actual fact the truth comes out, and it might be painful for us sometimes. It might be difficult for us because perhaps we've tried to cover up and we've tried to kind of do something else. But actually, honest, open communication based on truth actually helps us to build trusting relationships. When we know that there is nothing hidden, when we know that there is nothing behind whatever's going on in that person's life, but instead, we're actually clear that the truth is being spoken and that there's nothing hidden and there's no pretense. What it does is it allows us to be able to trust that person Because what we can do is we can sort of say, right, I know everything that there is to know now. But when we have that sort of sense that actually they've got some stuff that they're hiding under the surface, it's difficult to trust people when that happens. And we know that of other people, and it's true of us too, as they look at us. And so as we push into this, as we try and learn to love as God loves, learning to rejoice in the truth is part of that. Love always protects. Love always protects basically means that it can endure anything. It's willing. Love endures anything. It's willing to actually to put up with all sorts of different things. Another way of putting it is that love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, sometimes what happens is that actually, you know, that we can take offense and we can kind of have something happen to us. And it's not that we don't need to kind of deal with these things well, but actually what it talks about in terms of this stuff is that actually when it says that love always protects, what it means is it's willing to extend an arm of protection over us, even at the point where actually we don't deserve that, even when we have actually done something wrong. It's easy, it's very, very easy for us to react to offense, to react to the things that people say to us. Of course we do. But actually, if you want to love of God as God loves and want to change the relationships around about you, then one of the most important things is actually the ability to be able to endure what other people do and not react and not thrash them because they have done something wrong. Hugely challenging. Love always protects. Love always trusts. And trust is about actually seeing the very best in other people. Trust is about looking for the gold in other people. Trust is about sort of saying, you know, what my love is going to look like as I look to you and I trust you is that actually I will see what you could do, who you could be, and I will live into that. I will treat you in a way that actually I believe that you want to be treated, or not because of how you're behaving at the moment, not because of what you're doing, but the way that I see you could be. That's who I'm going to treat you. And actually what that does is it calls people up higher. It brings them into that place where actually they sort of say, wow, you know, I'm actually going to be the best that I can be. That's actually one of the reasons I'm pretty sure that Howard Espy causes people to react to them the way that he does. Because over the years, every time I've met the guy, you know, what happens is every single time, what happens is actually he speaks to me in a way that actually I don't feel as though I deserve, but actually he speaks to me in terms of my potential, what I can do, who I can be, the best that I can be, and he draws that out of me. And that's what this is about. Love never ceases to hope. There is no person who is hopeless. There's no person who there is no hope for as far as we're concerned. You know, and there are lots and lots of people who have no hope in themselves. And actually one of the greatest gifts that we have, our act of love to them, is to have hope for them, to be able to see something in their circumstances and in their future which they themselves cannot see. Something of a possibility of a different future which is going to be better. Love hopes for people. Love looks at people and actually sort of says, it doesn't have to be like this. Because with Jesus, actually, things can be transformed. And love bears everything with triumphant fortitude, is one word for it. But basically what that means is it's the ability to bear with people, not just like and endure them and put up with them, but bear with them because you believe that you will see them overcome. It is an act of faithful loving as you go towards someone and sort of saying, I actually am looking for the best for you. And I will bear with you. I'm going to stick with you, even through the difficulty of the circumstances that we're in just now, because I believe that actually as we do that, we will move to a different place and to a different experience. So these are the 15 qualities that in just three verses, Paul rattles off and actually gives us the ability to be understand. And these are the qualities that actually, if you want to know what love is, these are the qualities that we're talking about. These are the things that God is calling us to. And I think that for most of us, as we think about that, we recognize that actually These are things which we absolutely fundamentally agree with. You know, we have no difficulty about. But the question is, can I learn to love like God? And I would want to sort of say today that the answer to that is yes, we can. It takes a while. It takes practice. But at the very heart of it, and here's probably one of the most important things that people in the world do not understand, it is this. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Love is a decision that we make. To love is not something that is based on, again, circumstances. It's not based on our emotion. It's not based on any of these other things. It's based on a decision to be who we believe God has called us to be. Every time I write a letter to Diane, I kind of write, or a card or whatever, I will sign it and it'll say, I love you, which perhaps you're not particularly surprised about, but the next thing I'll say is this, and I always will. And that is a significant thing to say. You maybe you look at it and you kind of go, that's not very loving to sort of say, to, you know, as if to say that somehow, you know, I might change my mind later on, you know. But I might change my mind later on. We do change our minds later on in terms of relationships with people. And all I'm saying to what I want to sort of say is, this is where I stand just now, and I'm committing to continue to stand in the same place as I walk forward with you. Love is embedded in really kind of finds its place in, when it's embedded in a covenant relationship where one commits to the other to consistently walk in a particular way. It is not about how I feel. It is not about the circumstances. It is entirely about a decision of my will that I am going to be this person, that I am going to act in this way. And it is a decision that we make. And therefore, as we look at these 15 qualities of the characteristics of Christian love, and we are perhaps slightly daunted by them, as you should be, all I'm going to say is this, you can choose them. You can choose to grow in each of these qualities and characteristics. You can choose. So as I talked to you about, you know, the thing about, you know, don't keep a record of wrongs. Well, we worked on that. We talked about that. We made a decision. That's how we're going to behave from now on. And so as a result of that, that's changed our relationship. But here's the most challenging thing. So that's pretty challenging in itself when you're in a covenant relationship. But actually what God is calling us to is a covenant relationship with whoever you are. That there is no limit on the number of you that are available to us. So in other words, what Paul is encouraging us to is to learn to love as God loves. In other words, that we don't have anybody that we look at and we say, I'm not willing to love you. I'm not willing to do these things to you, with you, for you. And that's hugely challenging. But it is something that we can do. And it is something that God wants to empower us to do. And so today, as we finish, I just want to do two things. One is, I want to just stop just for a moment and just to remind you about the love of God for you that never gives up, that never fails, that never stops, that never abandons you, that shows you, that blesses you, that does all of these amazing things, that kicks down walls for you, that leaves the 99 for you, all of that stuff. And I want us to recognize that actually the place, the power, the place of motivation and the place where our ability to be able to love as God loves comes from is not, it's not only from ourselves. Yes, there is a decision that we need to make, but the true source of power for that is when we ourselves are transformed by the love of God. We love because he first loved us. And so the first and most important thing is this, that today, once again, we would just receive the Father's love for us, that we would understand what it is for us to be chosen, for us to be set aside, for us to be called by name, for us to be the ones that actually he loves in the way that he does. And to be able to receive that again for ourselves. But then to make a decision and to say, I choose today to grow into the fullness of the love of God that he wants to give to me. I choose today to love as he loved. So let's pray and ask that for him. And the band's just going to come back up here. So Father, I want to thank you for the ways in which you have done that, for the ways in which you have poured your love out into our lives. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you that before we were even born, while we were still in our mother's wombs, you knew us and you loved us. I thank you that you chose us. You called us by name. You adopted us in your family. You gave us the place of son, daughter of the King of Kings. You released us the fullness of the blessings of heaven. Every spiritual blessing which has been given to Christ Jesus has been released to us. We thank you that you're the one who came after us and keeps coming after us. When we fail you, when we walk away from you, when we turn away from you, when we do not do what you want us to do, you do not abandon us. You do not turn away from us. You do not forsake us, but instead you come after us, leaving the 99. And so, Lord God, I want to pray that today we would experience once more that deep and profound love that is the Father's love for us, that we today would discover what it is, that we would be loved, precious in your sight, the apple of your eye, your beloved. So even now as we worship, even now as we just wait upon the Lord, just allow him again just to release that love. Maybe just put your hands out in front of you as if you're receiving a gift and just be open to what God wants to do just now. So Father, would you release your love again today? We ask for the Father's blessing. We ask for the blessing of God Almighty, who loves us with a relentless, overwhelming love. Let that love just pour into our hearts again today. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that even now you're doing that. All over this room, just again, just once more, a deep and fresh revelation of the Father's love into our hearts and into our minds, into our spirit, into our whole being. Thank you, Lord. Just breathe it in. Just as you breathe in, breathe, recognize you're breathing in the love of God. And just breathe out all of the frustration and disappointment, all the brokenness, all the sins. Just breathe in the love of God. Your love never fails. It never fails, Lord God. It never ends. It never ceases. It never stops. And we ask that today, just as we receive more of your love, that, Lord God, we would choose today to say, I choose to love you. Whoever you is, I choose to love you as an act of my will, as a decision, as an overflow of the love of God into my life. I ask that you would activate love for the other, and that we would go deeper into these things. So, Lord God, would you release all that was required, more of your love and more of your power to help us to live as you would want us to. For we ask it in Jesus' name.